when Babylon Nebuchadnezzar came in and attacked Israel. There was a three stage. We know Daniel went in the first stage. In the second stage, Ezekiel went. And third stage is when he came in and he destroyed Jerusalem completely. Prior to Ezekiel 33, Isaiah prophesied about the enemies of Israel. He had a hand over his mouth. He could not prophesy, could not talk about the Judah until verse 21 and 22. He got a report from Jerusalem that Jerusalem was destroyed and wiped out completely, top to bottom. So then he begins to talk about Israel and to the people of Israel. Let's take a look at Ezekiel 33 again. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, that's Ezekiel, saying, "Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from the territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his shoulder." I find this interesting. I had an experience, my first experience while I was in Vietnam. Our responsibility was guard duty every 3 or 4 days. And we would go to a location and we would supposedly stay up all night long and protect those that were sleeping. The first night that I was aware, the two gentlemen who I didn't know because I was only in country for a few days, they got high and went to sleep. And I stayed awake because I thought that was what I was supposed to do. But the problem was everything I saw was moving. But we were safe through that night and we didn't have any problems. But a watchman has a responsibility to communicate if there's a problem. And if that communication is not received and something happens to them, then it's on them because they didn't take the time to heed the call. But he, let's do verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes the warning will be safe in his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will require of the watchman. So that says to me that if I'm on guard duty and I see problems, that it's my responsibility to tell them. Now, if they follow suit, praise the Lord. If they don't follow suit, then it's on them. So after we have this paragraph here, then God puts the burden of the watchman on Ezekiel. So you, son of man, that's Ezekiel, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require of your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? In my morning devotions, I like to read as much as I can. I realize that when I was working, there was other priorities, not important priorities, but other priorities, and so I didn't take enough time to spend it in the Word. But when I retired, I found that I had lots of time. And I have found since my retirement that the more time you spend in God's Word, the stronger and the closer to God your walk will be. So one of the things I want to do is encourage you. If you are taking 5 minutes a day to read in preparation, I would never put that down. I want you to do that. But see if you can dig out some more time. The more you spend in God's Word, the closer you will be to Him and get His assistance and guidance with your daily walk. Now, I want to go and take a look on and see what a watchman is and the duties. We've talked about his duty is to observe. Oh, yes. You need a Bible? You know, that's one of the things that I don't like about the telephone, computer, carry in your pocket age. It's great because you have a Bible there, but if you look at my grandfather's Bible or my father's Bible, it's all written up, all underlined and highlighted, and reminders in there. And little, I remember a teaching by a lady on the tube that said, write it in pencil. So if you have to change it and write something else, you'll be able to do that. And that's the one thing that I miss when we don't have our Bibles. Now, if you're using the telephone or the computer to read your Bible, keep going. Keep going. That's just an old guy's perspective. Amen? A watchman. If we were to move to 2 Samuel 18 to 24, I'd like to read that because it gives us an example of a situation in King David's life where Absalom was wanting to be king, and so he stole away the kingdom for a time. There was war between Absalom's group and David's group, and at one point during the battle, David's number one guy found Absalom hung up in a tree, and the reason why he was hung up in a tree because he had a head of hair that when they cut it each year, it was like 4 pounds. And but his head of hair was so thick that the branches caught him, and the horse that he was riding on just left him, so he was hanging there. So Joab saw him, and one of the soldiers saw him, but he was afraid because that was the king's son, to do anything to him. But Joab saw it and put a sword and took away Absalom's life. And so this portion that I'm going to read to you right now is that occasion with Absalom's death. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate to the wall, lifted his eyes and looked, and there was a man running alone. Then the watchman cried out and told the king, and the king said, if he is alone, there is news in his mouth. And he came rapidly and drew near. Then the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called the gatekeeper and said, there is another man running along, alone. And the king said, he also brings news. So the watchman said, I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. The king said, he's a good man and comes with good news. I thought it was interesting in this example is that the wise man not only was watching what he was doing, but he had signs. He had keys that he could know In fact, his key here is he knew how somebody was running to him, so he was able to get the message. So a messenger needs to understand what he's watching and why he's watching, and then he can do his job completely. Now, I wanted to take the word watch and break it down, and so I looked up Webster's Dictionary. It's the 1986 dictionary, and found that there were 11 different ways to watch. Let's go over a couple of them. Attention without sleep. Close observation. A guard, and that's the one that I want to lean on. A watchman or a watchman, men set for guard, either one person or more set to espy the approach of an enemy or other danger and to give an alarm or notice of such danger. A sentinel, a guard, he keeps watch at night. It's interesting that in this dictionary, it had quotes from the Bible. It says in Matthew 27:65, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. This is in a dictionary now. God's word, I like it. The place where a guard is kept, again, that's a watch. A post or office of the watchman. As I stand by, I watch upon a hill. That's the post or the office of a watchman. The eighth one, a period of the night in which one person or a set of persons stands at sentinels, or the time from one relief of sentinels to another. Usually the periods of watching were 4 hours. When we were on duty and completing our watch, we had it rigged so there'd be three of us in a tower, and we would take two-hour shifts, and then that would give us a chance to get 4 hours of sleep. And if there was a problem, then it was easy to wake up our partners. So we split it up. I carry a watch. But I thought the best of it was in the dictionary, the verb part of it, which says to be awake, to be or continue without sleep, to be attentive, to look with attention and steadfastness, to watch and see that the man passes, to look expectantly. So I thought the next step would be to look at what the Hebrew word watch means, and I'm going to pronounce it, and those of you in our Bible study will appreciate my mispronunciation. And that is mishmar, and what it means is to watch, post, guard, confinement, prison, custody, and division, used 100 times in the Old Testament. These forms are scattered throughout Bible literature. So the idea is that we have a responsibility to be watchers, and that we do it with the best of our abilities. Now I want to, we've seen what it is. We've seen the responsibilities that were given to Ezekiel. Now I want to bring it home to us. We have a responsibility to watch. And so we're going to look at three areas: God, family, and work. And the first place that I was led to was Psalms 1, 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. I love the fact that when we watch, we got to watch where we walk, we got to watch where we stand, and we have to watch where we sit. When we fail to do that, we stumble into the things that we don't want to do. The whole battle of our walk with the Lord is mental. We get an idea in our head, and then we begin to chew on it and meditate on it, think about it. And if it's good, praise the Lord. If it's not, then we end up stumbling. Now, as Christians, there's no problem stumbling. Why? Because of 1 John 1:9. We have a place, Jesus Christ, to go back and seek forgiveness, and he will cleanse us and forgive us of our sins and bring us back in fellowship with him. I hate to say last. It was interesting when one of my friends heard that I was going to be sharing this morning. They said a sermon, you have a perspective, I think, with 1 hour and 15 minutes sometimes when Pastor Pete's fired up. And she said, well, that's a little much. She said, well, maybe 30 minutes. And then she said, no, 15. 15 is good. Well, I'm going to make that person unhappy. I think I'm already past 15, so we're doing all right. Let's turn now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This morning, we heard that 3 of the Israeli hostages were released, and they were women. And I praise the Lord for those 3. I don't like the exchange of 50 for each one, but I'll leave that up to the powers that be. If you have an interest in the hope of the future, you have to be interested in what's happening in the U.S. Tomorrow's a big day, the inauguration, and I just pray God that have his hand upon the whole process. There are lots of strange things out there. There are people that would just soon send President-elect Trump to be with Jesus. And so I just pray that they will, he will be protected. But the other thing that I think we need to be watching carefully is Israel. Israel just completed a, not completed, I don't want to say that, have cleaned out some of the cancer that has caused Israel problems in Gaza. Now, as I read the Bible, I know that Gaza was part of Israel, and I still don't understand how that portion got pulled away. But they went into Gaza, and they leveled Gaza, but they haven't eliminated the cancer that's there. So I wonder what's going to happen with this at this time. But praise the Lord, we have 3 at home. I love the fact that Israel went into Lebanon and cleaned up Hezbollah, that cancer that's there, the cancer that inflicts death on Israel. The Bible tells us in the last days, perilous times will come. And Israel still has a meeting with the Lord Jesus and at his coming, but there's going to be a major catastrophe. Let's take a look at this 4th chapter of Thessalonians. Finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us, how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we give you through the Lord Jesus. It was proven in the Old Testament that we can't live by 10 commandments. So God reduced it to 2. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and being, and to love others as yourself. Are you able to do that? Amen. I like that. But that's even hard.
Amen.
Oh, way to go, Andy.
Amen.
Thank you, Pete.
Amen.
Now, I want to know, is that live, Andy, or is that, we don't know, you don't know? Is that you? Hands up back there. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Is Bill back there? Hey, you know, that's a great way to shake the nerves. Amen. All right, so we strive to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and being, and others as ourselves. And we can work on that. We can follow that. We can do that. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you shall know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles do, who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. When Paul went into Thessalonica, he was there less than a month. And he gave them a full lifetime of teaching out of the Old Testament and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And we can see that here. What he talks about in this paragraph is sanctification. That's being set apart. In Jesus' prayer, he talked about being sanctified by the Word. And the Word is God's, sanctified by the truth. The truth is God's Word. So he talks about sanctification. Can you imagine a three-week-old Christian learning, understanding, and applying sanctification? But the whole thing is that we are to walk as holy people. How do we walk with holy people? It goes back to the amount of time that we spend in God's Word. It's amazing what God's Word will do in your heart as well as your mind if you will take the time to make that investment. Verse 9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may look, lack nothing. Paul, in his writings to the Thessalonians, hit three areas. One, faith in God, to love others, and to have hope in the future. And that's something that we can all grab onto. Verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now we know that in 2 Corinthians 2:8, that when we pass away, our body stays and our soul meets with the Lord. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will first rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. as I was reading this, I was thinking, what needs to happen for the Lord to come down in the clouds and rapture his church? Absolutely nothing. Okay, if nothing has to happen before the rapture, then the rapture is imminent. It could be at any time. So then, if the rapture is imminent, what is our responsibility? Oh, I like that. Who said watch? I like prepared also. We need to prepare, but we need to walk circumspectly. We need to see the things that we do, the things that we see, and the things that we follow through on, because the times are tough. If I could give my family, and that is the thing that drives this message, if we get raptured, what's going to happen to those that stay? In Revelation 6 to 19, we know the activities that are going to be happening at that time. So we can read those, and we can write those down, and we can watch those things happen. But the thing that bothers me the most is, if I am raptured and somebody in my family is not, then they're going to have to go through that. The Bible tells us that there will be a strong delusion on those that are left behind. And it will be very difficult for those to be able to make a commitment to Christ. The pressure will be so great by the Antichrist that he will put a person in a position, said, you deny Christ or die. And if you don't deny him, then you're dead on the spot. So in order for you to become a Christian after the rapture, you're going to have to surrender your life. The Bible tells us in Revelation that there is a third group of people, and they're called the group of martyrs. And they are those who die because of their stand for Christ, and they are there to serve at the Lord's feet. God gave us Israel, and God is not through with Israel. God gave us Jesus Christ, who saved a group of people, sinners. And God has a plan for us. It is us who will be raptured out of here that will start the whole final 7-year war. 7 years of desolation upon the whole earth is those of us who are Christians. So, looks like we're going to get the 30-minute one today. The Lord gave me the word watch, and then he gave me some words to attach to it, and Rosie did a nice job of putting up there. All of us have a responsibility to watch. Now, I would read that back there, but my eyes are too old. But the first one, W, I have just to watch. It's our responsibility that we observe what's going on in our house, that we observe what's going on in our community. Oh, I'm sorry. Get back here. Why? Am I?
There you go.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry, Andy. Where's the amen? It's our responsibility to be watchmen. We got to watch out for our family. Now, it's crazy. We can do the right things and the wrong things with our families, and it still is up to each family member to make a decision for Christ. We can't make a decision for them. Calvary Chapel can't make a decision for them. The government can't make a decision for them. All of us have to face the Lord, and we have to make that decision to live for Him 100%. And then I took the A, oh, that's right over here. The A says to act. When you're on guard duty and you see something is wrong, you want to immediately tell somebody. And I think that we need to do that in our family. I think we need to do that in our church. I think we need to do that in our work, that we have to respond quickly. And that's the T, which means timely. If we wait as watchmen and we don't sound the trumpet, or if we don't share with a brother who is walking the wrong path, or we don't try to correct a family member, then the burden falls back upon us as watchmen. We're the one that's going to have to face the Lord and say, why didn't you sound the trumpet? And it's in a timely manner. Finally, the last two things is that we want to watch Christ. We want to watch Christ to strengthen our walk with the Lord. We want to watch for Christ for opportunities to missionary for the Lord. We want to watch for the care and concern about our families. And then finally, the H for heaven. Heaven's for some of us is going to be here sooner than others, and we praise the Lord for that. But we all could be raptured at any time, and so it's very, very, very important that we watch.